The name Thomas often brings up the response, the doubting Thomas, even if the person knows next to nothing about the gospel account, that Thomas would not believe that Jesus had been risen from the dead unless he saw him and touched his body. Thomas is a synonym for skeptic, a person who doesn't take the word of another person. He must check the facts for himself. Since some news is fake news, skepticism can have an upside. Let's put things about Easter in perspective. None of the disciples believed the report of the women that the tomb was empty. So Thomas is no different than anybody else. Peter and John went to check things out for themselves. The disciples going to Emmaus knew that the women had seen the resurrection Jesus, but that could have been a vision. Even when doubt was evolving into faith, the 10 disciples were so insecure in their conviction that Jesus had been risen from the dead that they locked themselves in a secure room. Then when Jesus did appear to them, they thought it was a ghost. Only when the apparition asked for something to eat did they realize it was Jesus. Most ghosts don't like fish. So in hearing that Jesus had risen from the dead, Thomas was no more a skeptic than anyone else. Everyone's first encounter with the resurrected Jesus was unique, almost bizarre. There is a protocol in visiting a funeral home to pay respects to the deceased. There is no protocol of how to greet the deceased if he comes back to life. Thomas was as loyal as he was intellectually inquisitive. When Thomas saw Jesus bring Lazarus back from the dead, he promised to go to Jerusalem with him to die. Crucifixion is no picnic. When Jesus said he was going to prepare a room for each of his disciples in his father's house, Thomas asked directions of how to get there. Jesus said directions were superfluous because anyone who had seen him had already seen the Father and already was on the way to the heavenly mansion. Thomas was a theologian. He wanted to get behind the words Jesus spoke. If our preaching is not backed by the conviction what the Bible reports about Jesus coming back to life, then our preaching of forgiveness of sins and absolution may bring psychological relief to the distressed, but has as much value as the beating of a hollow drum. All the disciples said that they would die with Jesus, but at the raising of Lazarus from the dead, Thomas raised the ante by volunteering to be first in line. In hearing the pounding of the feet of the Roman military coming to arrest Jesus, he got out of there. The valley where the Garden of Gethsemane was located was not going to be the hill on which Thomas would die. The Epistle of James says we should not brag. A braggart opens himself to humiliation by not doing what he has promised to do. Thomas had good reason not to be with his colleagues on the first Easter. In the 7 days after the resurrection, the reports of the resurrection that Jesus had actually come back to life were circulating, and Thomas could not dismiss them. Thomas could have easily made a visit to the tomb, but an empty tomb was collaborative evidence of the resurrection, not proof positive. By that time, the story fabricated by the Jews that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus was making the rounds. But reports of those who had actually seen Jesus could not be easily dismissed. Thomas could have good reason to think that his fellow disciples were suffering hallucinations. Sightings of dead people are not unusual. A popular view among the biblical scholars for at least the last 300 years is that the resurrection of Jesus was a projection of inner emotion, self-generated delusions, no more than fond memory coming back to life in the minds of his followers. Thomas draws the line in the sand. For him, without the conviction of the resurrection, there is no faith. Faith is worthless. About this, Paul wrote an entire chapter in 1 Corinthians. Unless Christ was raised from the dead, our faith is vain, and we preachers have deceived ourselves, and by our preaching, we have deceived ourselves. Seeing Jesus is not good enough. Thomas will settle for nothing less than touching Jesus. He wants to put his hands into the body of Jesus. Some might call his demands outrageous. Others might say that they are downright gross. Lyndon Johnson was not the most delicate of our presidents. After surgery, he lifted up his shirt to show the reporters the incision on his abdomen. Jesus did something just like that. He called Thomas bluff. And this has given us one of the most endearing paintings of the resurrected Jesus by Rembrandt. Stripped down to the waist, Jesus shows Thomas his hands and his feet where he was nailed to the wooden beams and asks Thomas to put his fingers into the print of the nails and his hand into the scar on the side of his body. Many cannot stand the sight of blood. Many a young, healthy male has passed out pricking his finger in a high school biology class. Jesus, who by his resurrection had entered into the glory of God by which he would judge all men, was exposing the horrors of crucifixion to Thomas. Then comes the greatest confession ever spoken by any mortal man on earth or any saint or angel in heaven. My Lord and my God, the one raised from the dead is none other than the crucified. And the wounds that Thomas saw are still open. And from those wounds come a continuous flow of blood that all the chalices in the world will never contain, and a perpetual river of water splashing out of every baptismal font in Christendom. Mailing postcards, we don't do that too much, is a way of bragging. I am here and you're not. Certain president of the seminary, now deceased, used to do exactly that. The disciples, especially Thomas, were there. You were not. You can sing, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose again from the tomb? But you weren't. Thomas was. To solve our pouting dilemma that we did not see the resurrection of Jesus, but Thomas did, John added this appendix to the story about Thomas. Quote, beside appearing to Thomas, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now for the footnote. Thomas may have had an undetected motive in insisting in seeing Jesus for himself. Only those who were witnesses of the resurrection qualified as apostles. Faith does not cut it. Thomas saw Jesus and was joined to the foundation of the church, in which Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. In common speech, Thomas will be forever the doubting Thomas. We can live with that, and so can Thomas. But one day, we will stand side by side with Thomas, and staring into the divine splendor of the wounds of Jesus, we will cry, my Lord and my God. No longer will he be the doubting Thomas, but Thomas, the foundation of faith. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with you forever.